Three, two, one. Happy birthday! You want to sing a Still Jupiter song?
Oh, happy birthday. Again. Run the clip. Happy birthday.
What the flip? You can say that.
Yeah, what the flip?
4 years. That is actually crazy. I know, like, every birthday comes around and we're like, oh, wow, it's crazy. Like, we've been doing it for so long and blah, blah, blah. But, like, 4 years is actually, like, it's a long time. Like, it's not a short amount of time to do it, like, to have done it as consistently as we have. It's like pretty much every week, apart from like a few short hiatuses.
No, it really is. It's a long time.
Yeah.
And here we are.
That's crazy.
I will say the 3 year birthday to the 4 year anniversary, a lot has happened.
Yeah. And it's gone like that.
Yeah.
Oh, with our platform. Yeah.
Yeah.
We were on.
No, I think also the past year has gone really quickly.
We were on 3,000 followers, maybe 2,000 something followers when we turned 3.
What, have we doubled in a year?
Yeah, and now we're on 6.3K on Instagram. And, like, I don't know, maybe 3 or 4K on TikTok.
Yeah, 4.1 on TikTok, yeah.
That's what you call exponential growth.
And I remember saying 4K by summer this year. And that was, like, March, April time of this year. Now it's December and we're on 6K.
Touch wood.
Yeah.
So what you call exponential growth?
So I feel like it's been a big year.
I feel like we're on the precipice of, like, bigger growth. Touch wood.
Yeah. If next year goes
according to plan.
Yeah.
Also, we might have some changes for you guys in the new year. We are thinking of a name change because we feel like Mango Masala is a little bit kind of like boxes us in a little bit. It's a little bit cringy. So we kind of want something a little bit different, except none of us can think of anything.
Yeah, that pretty much sums up. And you were saying how you obviously had gone to ChatGPT, and that brings me actually on to something that I want to say is just now, in case you probably won't be able to tell because this episode is so well put together, but... Sorry, is that amusing?
No, it was genuinely a cop.
I was like, right, let me try ChatGPT and I'll ask it for like...
For the rebrand stuff?
No, not... I mean, we've tried that and it didn't really work, but I was talking about more for stuff to discuss in...
No, ChatGPT writes that episode?
Yeah, like give us topics.
Oh, is it?
And it immediately got shut down because I literally said, can you give me some topics to discuss and like UK news, pop culture, blah, blah, blah. And like the second thing it gives me is... Oh, speak about the Prime Minister, blah, 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 Rishi Sunak.
Oh,
I was like, right, it's saying that the Prime Minister is Rishi Sunak.
Oh.
So I'm like, right, clearly, like, this is...
You know what, let me say something. You know what, this ChatGPT thing, I never used to use ChatGPT, like, for as long as it's come out. I think a lot of people jumped on it very early on and, like, very quickly and, like, were using it for work and school and stuff like that. And I never did, right? And then a lot of people kept telling me, like, there's a lot of untapped potential there. Like, you could really use it. It could really help you. Like, just try it. So, obviously, recently I've been doing like job applications, maybe I've done like 2 or something, I don't know, but like I thought, you know what, let me try and use it. And do you know what, like I end up flipping rewriting all the stuff anyway. Like I don't think
it's good for like prompts of like what it thinks you should cover, and the basis you should cover. But then it, like I used to use it at work and it just sounded like too much of like a computer.
Yeah, exactly.
But it was good for emails. Like if I didn't know what to say to someone, I'd be like, this is my point that I want to say, make a reply, and it would just give me the basis.
Yeah, I think it's, if you're really, really, what I found was helpful was when you're being super specific, when you're like,
you have to be like very, give all the background and context, give everything that you want from it. So basically you have to put in quite a lot of effort in the first place.
Anyway, exactly. So my point is like,
it depends on what you're using it for. Because sometimes the effort, I feel like actually makes sense to get a comprehensive answer, but it depends what for.
Mm. Like I've heard of people that don't want to read a long document, for example.
Yeah.
And they'll put it in and say, can you summarize it for me?
Oh, God, I wish I had that at uni. My God. Oh, my God. I would have been unstoppable.
But no, like, I feel like yeah, for like an email, it's not worth putting in a massive prompt and being like, do this, do this. Because by the time I've done that, I could have written the email. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? But for something like an essay or like a job application, even for a job application to be like, here's the job description.
Yeah.
Summarize what I should be touching on.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It was good for prompts. Because yeah. I feel like when it was giving me like complete answers, even when I was super comprehensive, I think it, like, you can really tell like it lacks like a human touch. Do you know what I mean? So like I was ending up having to, and also, do you know what it is? It's like insight that I feel like it doesn't necessarily have. Like if you're intelligent enough, right? And like you can write, I feel like you're better off. Like there are things that you can think of and ideas that you can come up with, even for things like job applications that like a ChatGPT just couldn't. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like it actually can't make up for human intelligence, I feel like. Like that's what I've seen.
Especially for a job application, it can't give you personality.
That's it. Yeah, exactly.
It's like when you ask it to make art and then it gives people like seven fingers.
Mm. Yeah. Like, yeah. Just, yeah,
it does. But it just depends what you're using it for.
Yeah, but then I realized as well, like using ChatGPT in itself is a skill.
Yeah,
like to know what to put in and how to use it. It's definitely a tool, you know. And I wouldn't be surprised if it's taught as a tool in schools in like the coming decades. I would not be surprised.
Yeah,
but it's like now everyone is doing AI. Everyone's hopping on it.
Yeah.
That's what I mean. Like everyone was telling me because I'd never done it, and like everyone was like, "No, you know, like it's good, it's good, it's good." I tried.
Even at like my old job, everyone, we need to do something for AI. We need an AI win in 2024, and I was like,
I think it's because moving forward, it's very evident that that is going to be an important thing. So everyone's trying to get ahead of the curve and not and like also, left behind.
None of my like cousins or nieces and nephews under the age of probably like 21 have written an essay or done any piece of homework or any piece of revision without using some kind of AI. Now the ones mad. In uni, high school, everything, like
it's like how when we were writing essays at school, I used to think that, oh, it must have been so long back in the day when like you didn't have the internet or couldn't type and you had to actually like full on look through books instead of using Control F.
Oh my God.
And this is like a step further than that, whereas like literally you can get it to do even more stuff for you. Like
I do wonder whether it will make people intellectually lazy, though. Because I also think, like, being able to sit down and write something that comes from your head is a skill. Because, like, for example, I have a 15-year-old sister. She's about to be 16. She's doing her GCSEs now, right? And, like, I tutor her and stuff like that. And, like, particularly with, like, written subjects, history, English, blah, 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 you have to have, like, a lot of independent thought. Mm. And I realise, like, it's not, like, not to sound like a... like I'm blowing my own trumpet, but something like that always came very naturally to me. I did it, that's why I ended up doing an English degree. But she's like a maths girl, right? So she has a very different brain to mine. And you realize that it's not such a given thing to be able to think independently. And I find that as I'm teaching her less about like techniques and writing styles, and I'm teaching her more about how to come up with your own thoughts. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like I'm teaching her more how to think independently and how to like have an opinion when you read a piece of prose. Yeah. Like, you know, and I think that something like AI, if schools don't, I don't think they can resist against it. I think that they're going to have to adopt it. But if they don't adopt it in the right way, that they will end up with very intellectually lazy children.
Yeah. And even more so than that, I think looking further down the line, I think obviously we know that one thing that doctors will get people to do is play brain games to stimulate the brain and get people less likely to suffer from deterioration later on in life and fall victim to like dementia and stuff like that. So if people's brains aren't actually being exercised that much even earlier on in life, that makes me think like, are we gonna like see like maybe more early onset dementia, things like that, because brains just aren't being used in the way that they're meant to be.
It's also it's a muscle, you have something to flex else. It.
The assisted dying bill.
Oh my God.
Which I suppose is a good... what are your thoughts on that?
You know what? If done correctly and with the right precautions and procedures put in place to protect people and to protect particularly vulnerable people who might be preyed on by certain people that they know, what have you, right? I actually think it's a very dignified thing to put in place to give someone that autonomy and dignity in later life or during illness to just say like, listen, I'm out. And I personally, I would like that for myself to be able to say.
Yeah, I don't think it's inherently a bad thing. I think that, but I think the only time where it should be okay is for people who are terminally ill. I think assisted dying should come in where palliative care ends. And like, there's no, that's it. Like, you cannot extend any further palliative care. You've absolutely exhausted the absolute extent of it. I think ideologically, that's the point at which I agree that, you know, assisted living should be a thing. However, do I trust this country to implement it?
That's what
absolutely
I mean.
Not.
If implemented correctly with the protection of
and
the
I don't and I
the
yeah and I have zero faith that this country where nurses are using food banks, child poverty is on the rise, like people aren't getting housing, the NHS is barely caring for people, the government and, you know, the politics in this country has such a disdain for the most vulnerable in our society, that is poor people, that is disabled people, that is children, like, and the elderly, and, you know, like, I don't trust at all. And we live in like a super capitalistic like society. I think that it will only devolve into eugenics, truthfully, because there was a country, I want to say Canada, where they've seen a similar thing where it started off, they had like an assisted dying, like, you know, thing where it started off with, you know, people who are terminally ill, and then it ended up being people who are like, oh, what was the term that they used, like socially something, and basically it meant like homeless people. Basically,
well, just basically get rid of the problem.
Like, I don't think they did it, but like, that's kind of where the conversation ended up turning, you know. So, and I know for a fact that's where it's going to go here in this.
It's
England.
Actually so ominous, actually, when
it's
you think about it.
Extremely.
Yeah, especially when it's the most vulnerable people, and all they need is
like
a little bit.
Theory,
to kind of tip
in a
them.
Fair and yeah. just world, in like in theory, sounds great to give people that humility and dignity in illness and in later life. Fair. And like I said, I would want it for myself.
Yeah, but that's not the world that we live in. I just know, like, the way that kind of healthcare is already stratified by like race and class and gender and, you know, how much money you have and all of these things, how that already impacts your level of like healthcare in this country. I definitely do think it's going to end up evolving into like eugenics. You know, I definitely think that there will be people of colour, or, you know, maybe homeless people, or, you know, working class people who will perhaps be referred to like assisted dying in cases where they shouldn't, because the doctors might just see it as like an easy solution.
And that also reminds me of what happened yesterday. The CEO of that American health insurance company got shot and killed in New York. And I think like a drive-by, basically. And no one knows right now, like as of right now, like who did it, what the motive was, etc. But a lot of people are hypothesizing that it was someone whose family member or something had been denied care that was like supposed to be billable to the insurance company, because apparently the company was using AI to automate their approval of different services to people, and it was doing it at such a high margin of error, but it carried on using the AI just obliviously, and people were fed up because people were being denied care and they couldn't afford it without their insurance, obviously, because the American healthcare system. And he was shot and killed yesterday in New York. And then later on in the day, another American healthcare association said that they're going to stop paying for anesthesia past a certain point in a surgery, in an operation. Past a point in an operation, the anesthesia is no longer billable to your insurance.
So what, they just start feeling the pain?
No, you have to pay for it yourself, or they won't administer it anymore. But the amount of people that you see in America that have to take an ambulance and get charged like $20,000.
The amount of people that you know that don't get ambulances.
People that get Ubers.
Because
to
they...
the hospital.
I'm pretty sure that your cousin said that when they were on. They said how they like twisted their ankle when they were skating and they literally didn't get an ambulance because of that reason.
It's just crazy. Like, I don't understand really the American healthcare system, but I don't think a lot of people do, or anyone does.
Well, I think it doesn't... But
it's like car insurance, like you pay...
Yeah, but it's just crazy.
Insurance, and then like when something happens, like...
Yeah, like the anesthesia thing was crazy, and then obviously this guy.
I think it'll be very messy.
Yeah.
I think.
Well, unlike us to ever stray away from positivity, let's bring ourselves back a bit and focus more on 4 years, which, I've said, is
happy birthday.
Very long time. 4 years. Every 4 years, there's a World Cup. There's an Olympics.
There was an Olympics.
For that long. What else is there every four years?
Our election term, is it 4 or 5 years?
It's meant to be 5 years, so we're nearly on what's meant to be an election term, though we don't really know what that is anymore.
No, because yeah, of that doesn't make any sense anymore.
I feel like it was four.
It was four.
In the UK.
No, because in the... Maybe it's the minimum, but like, because remember in the UK we had a general election in 2010 and then in 2015.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
True. Yeah. So... Yeah, but basically the point is it's a long time. And I realised the other day, actually, me and Mayanka have been together for 8 years.
That's
so
double that.
So Mango Masala has existed.
Been half of your relationship.
Yeah, half of
our
relationship.
Oh, that's crazy. Wow.
Now look at
I wish I was her right now.
For context, Mayanka is currently asleep. I'll just pop it on. Yeah. Clearly we're making very riveting content right now.
Wow. No, it's actually not us, guys. If we showed you how overcast it is, as in like, it's like visibly grey.
Me and Halima are on collectively about 4 hours of sleep between us.
Guess what? Simran couldn't sleep, so what did she do this morning? At 4 o'clock in the morning.
Six
in the morning.
What?
Went to the gym. Oh, because of course you do. When you haven't had any sleep and you don't know what to do with your life, you go to the gym.
I was awake. Turned my phone off at 11, slept at 2, woke up at 4.
Oh, so you just tossing and turning for 3 hours?
Could
That's
not.
What I did.
And then at 4, I just knew it wasn't happening. I just knew for a fact sleep was not coming. I was lying there, could not do it, was not happening. So I was like, you know what? I can just go to the gym. Like, I can just do it. I was full of energy. I was like, you know what, caffeine exists for a reason.
This is the difference between you and me. Like, I have nights like that as well, where I can't sleep and I'll be tossing and turning, but I'll be a zombie.
But don't get me wrong, everything crossed my mind to stay in bed and not do it. I even had my gym clothes on and I was standing in my bedroom thinking, looking at my unmade bed thinking like, could just get back in, like.
You're so but good. But
I was so frustrated lying in bed. That would have been worse than the gym.
I get what you mean. Oh my God.
But basically, I've been doing spin classes lately I went on the spin bike and I just did my own very own like 40 minute spin class. I did 15K on the bike I had my headphones on and I had like rap and all. We can segue into the next bit. But I had like all my songs on because the spin guy, like, he does like good songs, but it's just like dubstep and like crazy intense crazy music. I just got like my normal music and it was so much fun. Highly recommend doing a personalized spin class.
So when I text at like 5, same thing, I couldn't sleep. I was tossing and turning, like I was just moving directions, moving pillows. I opened my windows,
I was like counting sheep, I was doing deep breathing, I was praying and meditating and stuff
on my side, on
and
my
then
back.
That's the point where I was like, I'm getting so angry sat here, let me just go do something else.
It's because you're anticipating how enjoyable
I was
this
like,
is.
It's Mango Masala's fourth birthday!
Oh my God.
I need to go. I did actually consider leaving my house at 6 to come here and just come here at 10 and knock out here.
Anyway, do you want to do your little segue?
Oh my God, yeah. So I was doing my personalized spin class, which I highly recommend, like just putting headphones on and like doing your own spin class. So much fun. Anyway, sorry. I was like Beyonce on. It was great. Anyway, Spotify Wrapped.
Oh.
First of all,
I share mine with my 17-year-old cousin. So mine is like DBE, M. Huncho.
If you have seen this program, this show, right, for 4 years, you should know that I enjoy talking about music a lot. More than that, I love The Weeknd. I love him. I had like a ridiculous year streak of him being my number one. Number one, number one, Abel, right? Don Toliver, 2 years in a row. My top three for 2 years in a row has been Don Toliver, Travis Scott, and The Weeknd. I come on this show and I try and talk about music and have nuanced opinions and be like, oh, I have a really varied music taste. I listen to everything and blah, 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 yeah? My Spotify Wrapped is the Spotify Wrapped of a 12-year-old boy.
That's so
Playboy
funny.
Carti, Yeet,
same
Travis
as your,
Scott.
Same as your TikTok as well.
Yeah.
What do you mean, what's wrong with a TikTok?
My TikTok is all Fortnite at the moment.
Oh, right.
It's ridiculous. I'm genuinely embarrassed. Genuinely embarrassed.
What is it about you that attracts that, like... Do you know what I mean? I'm talking about the fact that your TikTok and your Instagram is both
Oh, no, but that's just because I think, like, in my soul, maybe I just am a 12-year-old boy.
Fair enough.
None of this is me. No, no, this is me. It's like nine.
Boota B. I've never heard of Boota B.
He's from Charlton.
Great though. Yeah, he is. He's good though.
Who, Boota B?
No,
Tunde.
Oh, he is good. It's my cousin. It's my 17. I share it with my 17-year-old cousin. So.
And then, obviously, and this brings me on to my second point. Wrapped, yeah. Obviously, I know everyone, there's a big thing about Wrapped being kind of delayed this year by like a week or so.
No, but everyone's saying it's inaccurate as well, though.
Well, so basically, everyone's been mad about rap being delayed, and normally Wrapped is like, you listen to this many genres across this many countries, let's take you to, you know, Colombia, where you listen to this artist and this was your favorite song and blah 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 blah. It was so personalized and tailored, and it was just like, it was such a little journey, and it's a nice way to reflect on your year through music. For, I think for a lot of people, like, music is like a soundtrack to your life.
Yeah,
right. This year, three or four slides on just like, your autumn flavor was pumpkin spice rap god melody in the backseat car. Like,
it's just words.
Yeah,
it's
Pilates, not like... princess, hip hop.
Sorry, I just got Maher Zain was one of your top artists. He's a Nasheed artist. My 17 is yeah, so, because that's also not me. Top, like,
0.5 fan, that's nice.
My 17-year-old cousin, it used to have funny.
Such like nuanced stats, yeah. And so personalized, and it was just like,
this is not, you know, right.
Yeah, and then also a lot of people have been like, oh, my Wrapped is not right. And in my head I was like, my brother in Christ, like, is literally data, like, what do you mean it's not right? Of course it is. However, I went through my Wrapped playlist, because they give you a top 100 songs of the year. Some of those songs I literally feel like I've listened to like once in my life ever. I had it on the way here, so many songs I was like, what even is this song? Like, I saw it come up and I was like, I don't even know how the song's about to go. So how can that be in my top 100?
So funny.
I think my top 100 is usually relatively accurate, I would say. But I think I agree
but
with,
but I think,
like,
your music taste is very consistent, though.
Yeah, I agree.
That's a polite way of putting it.
Yeah.
But I think I agree with Wrapped. Like, it was just, even the fact that they didn't include the top 100 in the actual slideshow, I thought that they hadn't done it this year. And I had to, my friends told me, oh, it's still there, and you have to go and, like, look for it and find it. Like, yeah, it just, there was something about it. Also, the font Rap change, it's gone really narrow year. Now.
Even the graphics weren't really killing it as well. Like, Wrapped didn't hit, and I'm not gonna lie, I have been thinking about Wrapped all year, because Don Toliver last year stressed me out, but I wrote it off because I saw him live, but then I saw The Weeknd live twice. What's going on? So anyway, I'm going to be spamming The Weeknd from now on, so Carlos, strap in. And 2025 is going to be my year. And he's dropping an album in January anyway, so hopefully.
I mean, do we want to, like, bet our top artists, like, now for next year?
Okay, my number one is going to be The Weeknd. I think my number two is still going to be Travis Scott.
What about Don Toliver? Is he going to make
it? I reckon he'll probably end up being top five. The guy makes easy listening music, man. It's not my fault he makes good music.
I don't think that Charlie XCX will be my top artist next year. She was this year. But
my friend Laura went to see her like 3 days ago. Did you go?
No. Oh. See, I'm not really a Charlie XCX fan.
Guys, I went to see Zayn Malik yesterday. What?
Right, bring that back. Right, hold that thought.
I forgot.
Right.
A lot has happened since the concert.
Anyway, my Spotify Wrapped is Charlie XCX, Flo, Dua Lipa, S Club, and Ariana Grande.
Okay. 2024 S Club is crazy. I wish they could give you your S Club start, even though they were like four.
But do they know who you are? I feel like they should know who you are.
Yeah, they do know. I've met them. Like,
no, but more than that, I feel like they should know who you are.
Well, I'd like to think I left a lasting impact.
You tell them about your wedding, Don?
I showed them it.
They've seen it.
What was their reaction?
What a flex. They're
like, wow. Like,
that's so jokes.
No, they were like quite, I think because it was the actual choreography, they were quite taken aback by it.
That's funny.
But yeah, no, I think, but the thing with me is, my Spotify Wrapped is always kind of infiltrated, and I've said this before, by my gym playlist.
Yeah, you had this last.
What's on your gym playlist?
So this is the thing. The reason why 360 is my number one song is because I like I like listening to it outside, but then also I listen to it at the gym quite a lot as well. And the same with S Club as well. Like, I do listen
you
to
S Club in the gym.
I listen a couple of songs I listen to in the gym, and that's why it's made it onto the playlist.
Very interesting.
I need to put a message out to artists, because Party Next Door, if you're listening to this,
stop using such explicit album covers, because I had a Party Next Door song as my first thingy. Wait.
Yeah, that's crazy.
That was my number one song. I got this on my rap to the big picture, and I was like, ooh.
Yeah.
Party Next Door, please.
Keep it PG, mate.
Keep it PG.
Okay, now you can talk about Zayn.
I went to see Zayn Malik yesterday.
Wait, where was that?
In Manchester, the O2 Apollo.
I thought he was here, like, a couple...
He did. So, basically, he announced the tour, like, when I was in Colombia, and we tried to get tickets, and we couldn't get it. And it sold out literally in, like, minutes. So, then he announced, like, more dates. So, he ended up doing 3 Manchester sold-out shows. But it was at the O2 Apollo, which is, like, a relatively small venue, which, like, someone of, like, his kind of celebrity status, I really think... He could have done a stadium tour. Like, he really could have done, like, a big tour. And he didn't, but I think it's because he's spoken about, like, he has, like, social anxiety and stuff like that. So, and he doesn't tour. Like, he famously doesn't tour.
Yeah, like, literally, I think I've seen it was the first time he was performing Pillow Talk live.
Yeah,
it was literally on this tour. Yeah, that's been out for,
like, I think it's his first time he's toured, I think.
It's,
and, like,
literally been out for, like, 8.5 years, nearly 9 years.
Yeah, so he, like, famously doesn't do promo, doesn't do interviews, doesn't do, like, shows. I think with this album, he started to a little bit, but, like, so it was the first time. And we didn't end up getting tickets the first time around, but we were like, let's try and get, like, resale. But then obviously, like, I've got family stuff, like, weddings and stuff going on. So, like, every Saturday that he's performed, I've had, like, a wedding event. Yesterday, I left the gym at, like, 5. So for the last week, we've been, like, just looking at the tickets. But they were all super expensive. Like, it wouldn't have been worth it. And then yesterday at, like, 5 p.m. I literally left the gym. My cousin called me and she was like, tickets are, like, 50 quid, are we going, yes or not? And the doors open at 7. 5 p.m. I had, like, oil in my hair. I was on my way home from the gym. I was sweaty. Like, I was like, oh, do you know what, let's just go. So then we booked it, literally got home, got ready in, like, an hour, went, and it was great. Like,
I love a spontaneous plan.
It was very, very spontaneous, and he is genuinely amazing. Like, it's very, like, I don't know if you guys, like, if you see the snippets from, like, his live shows, it's very no frills. Like, he doesn't, there's not much stage production, there's not much, like, he doesn't dance, he doesn't really move, he doesn't really talk that much either. I think you could see, like, I believe that this guy has, like, social anxiety. He literally comes on,
bless him,
he says a few words every few songs, but other than that, he literally just performs, like, back to back. Did like an hour 15 and that's it, left. Didn't do an encore, even though people were calling for it. But he's incredible live. Like, when I speak all the time about how much I love Zayn Malik, but, like, I think people underestimate, like, how amazing his voice is. Like, he genuinely, he genuinely has, like, an amazing voice. And when you listen to it live, so, like, my cousins were saying they thought it was better, his voice was even better live than, like, in the studio recordings. But, yeah, I was really glad I went. It was a great time. I love him. I love the album.
I'm glad that you got to see that, because I think he cancelled one of his Newcastle
the night before. Yeah. And he came on and he apologised and stuff like that. But.
And also, I will say, like, sometimes the no frill stuff is so much nicer in certain ways, because it's all stripped back. It feels a lot more intimate. And I do think if you're going to have a massive stage production and design and choreography and dances and whatever, right, that is more suited for, like, a stadium
or
massive arena sort of thing. Like, whereas a small intimate venue, you don't want, like, half of the thing to be taken up by lights and production.
His show was a reflection of his album, which is a reflection of him. Like,
and
I know
this was quite a personal album, wasn't it?
When I spoke about the album, like, when it came out, I remember saying, like, one thing that I really enjoy about him as an artist is that he's very, like, he doesn't really pander to, like, the charts and stuff like that. Like, he himself is a very no-frills artist. Like, he's very much about the music, and I think genuinely that's why he makes like good quality, creative, versatile music, because he's not thinking about, like, what's going to be a hit TikTok trend and blah 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 blah. And that's really what his show was. It was just about the music. You just go, you listen to him. It was very mellow. Like, it was great. I really had a good time. Yeah, and the audience was so nice as well. Like, you could tell we were standing. He's so humble as well. Like, you can tell he was so touched by, like, everyone. And yeah, I really like him. I feel like
Bradford.
You get.
So,
like,
cute.
I feel like he should just be way more famous than he is.
Well, then. But I think you forget how famous he actually is. I think
He is extremely famous. Not famous. I feel like
he should be more appreciated.
Like, his music, because I feel like a lot of his fan base is
the kind of like leftover directioners that are riding regardless, you know, whereas I feel like newer audiences that maybe didn't necessarily listen to One Direction but appreciate good music should be listening to him. He's so good.
Yeah. Big up Zayn Malik.
Yeah, I love you, Zayn.
Yeah. Right. I've seen a couple of things online, actually, that I wanted to discuss, one of which is part of what I've been watching on TV. So 2024, actually, for me, has been the year that I've started religiously watching soaps. I know.
Is it? Wait, didn't you watch Corrie growing up?
Well, no. This is the thing. Don't remember I said I used to watch the YouTube clips.
Was it allowed
to? That's what was in my head. That is so funny.
Whereas
Carlos.
Now I actually have started. Although I will say, Corrie is making it quite difficult. Oh, I'm not going to lie.
Sorry, my mum watches Corrie and I've been in the room while it's on. It is a painful watch.
I
don't watch
like,
any soaps.
I'm currently a week and a half behind because I just can't find the time to just sit down and watch
I don't understand, like, good or bad?
The acting is dismal.
Guys, no, I sometimes ironically watch Hollyoaks. Like, if it's
Which
on telly,
Hollyoaks?
The worst one.
Is it a hospital one?
No. There is a hospital in it. Hollyoaks, the one in like Chester, it's Chester, isn't it?
Yeah.
The one in Chester.
Yeah.
Like the really, really awful one. Like people.
I've never ever been that big into soaps. The only one I ever watched a little bit was EastEnders when I was younger.
Yeah, yeah, same. No, I watched Hollyoaks when I was a teenager a bit.
I think the thing with Corrie is that it appeals definitely to a.
That was me,
I think the thing with Corrie is that it appeals to an older audience, definitely. Like, you can tell by the jokes that they put in.
But, like, I would say to my mum, like, this is objectively bad. The plot is getting more ridiculous. They're grabbing for storylines at this point. And the acting is actually just a hard watch. To be honest with you, it's really hard to watch. I've seen better acting, like GCSE drama performances.
But the thing is, EastEnders has also got the unbelievable plot lines, but I think it gets away
they
with
execute it.
It
a bit
I think
better.
They, I think they do, and I think they also do. The fact that it's half an hour of uninterrupted just there and four times a week, I think that model actually works better than three times a week an hour but with ads.
Coronation
is that Corrie?
Yeah.
Coronation Street. No one actually talks like that here.
Yeah, the way that they kind of make their little jokes amongst each other. This is what I mean. Like, and they throw that in, but it's like, it's not like realistic.
They've written the, like, Manchester kind of slang and lingo in the script, but you know those people don't use it in their everyday lives. So it feels forced coming out of their mouths.
Where is it set?
It's in some make-believe place in South Manchester, basically.
All right, round the corner from here, then.
No, literally, because they have the map of the taxi thing in the background. You can see Bianca's house on it, because it's like with.
Oh, is it? That's
I've literally noticed in the map in the background. I mean, like, that's M21. That's like, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, so it is like, it's meant to be set here. I think in the, you can see the hills in, I think, in the shots.
I can't lie, Corrie's a bit of a hard watch these days.
Yeah, no, agreed. I want to like
That's bare cute,
Because, like, I'll say to my mum, this is objectively bad TV, and she's like, just let me have it.
Let me
enjoy it.
You know, sometimes when something is so bad, like, it's kind of good.
She's probably just, like, 20 years deep.
Oh, really?
I'm struggling to keep up with it just because it's, like, it's semi-similar to when I used to... Me and Bianca... Have you ever watched Riverdale? No.
Like bits and bobs. Right. That is ridiculous. Because my little cousin used to watch it, so she'd have it on. I'd pop in and out of it.
It was for like tweens. Like,
yeah. No, it was. No, when it first came out, we were like in.
It was
third
first,
year,
it was like murder mystery. And it turned
went.
Into like alternate universes, which
it was
is.
Mad. No, like, it literally started out first season. Oh, there's been a murder in this town that has never experienced any drama before. Let's see what happens.
Which is like a good premise.
Yeah. And then just the more seasons went by, it started.
Absurd.
There were musical episodes. There were alternate universes. It was just literally like, what is going on?
How did you guys watch it?
No, and that's the point. It got to a point where we were like, actually, I can't justify taking an hour out of my week to sit and watch this anymore.
Yeah.
And it was me that was forcing it for a long time. I think Bianca gave up and I was like, no, I want to watch it because it's funny. And it actually got to a point where it was like, this isn't even funny anymore. I'm just fed up with it.
It's just bad.
I just think as well, UK TV is painful to watch because I think a lot of my mum's watching habits are painful to watch. Like, she watches like Come Dine With Me, Four in a Bed.
Excuse me, not too much on Come Dine With Me, Four in a Bed.
I'm not like
That's hating the, that on I it as a that premise. They're iconic. Don't get me wrong, especially the older ones. But if you've seen like recent Come Dine With Me, Four in a Bed and Dinner Date.
Yeah. Guys, you know, no, that's my bread and butter.
It's painful.
Nah, fam. It's that's so one hill false. I'll die on. No, I have, Carlos, what do you I think? Have Come Dine With Me subscribed on YouTube.
I think...
That's what got me through uni. The that's old, what I'll be watching on YouTube. The old
seasons, calm, because they were actually iconic and people had more personality.
Dinner date on Netflix when I don't have anything to watch and I'm eating. That's what I'll watch.
The thing that I have with all this is that I just actually don't have the time.
Nah, Come Down With Me is I love. I'm a Come Down With Me stan.
Not you Come Down With Me.
Really?
Yeah. Like, Come Down With Me clips, fair enough, but Come Down With Me actual full-on episodes.
Dinner date is painful. They're all like Love Island rejects. That I just kind of trying to get onto a show.
But that's why I love it.
And also, Dinner Date looks like it's been shot in like 2007.
So yeah.
They haven't upgraded their cameras at all.
Very low budget.
And then what's the other one I said? Four in a Bed. The only good thing about Four in a Bed is when they beef. You just got middle class like white people.
Oh,
just
I being love like, Four in a Bed.
You've underpaid me, you're playing a game, and you're, the table, the ceiling was dusty.
I love Four in a Bed. Do you know what's so great about Dinner Date is that, they say like they go out for a luxury meal at the end, it's literally the local pub.
Yeah.
So funny.
Anyway, what I was bringing up in terms of EastEnders and these unrealistic storylines, basically there's one at the moment where actually the main Brown family in it, well, the only Brown family in it, yeah, so they basically, the granddad in it is basically evil.
Okay. What, in Corrie?
No, this is EastEnders. Oh. And he basically came out of prison and his wife was now a lesbian. Or well, obviously, they've always been a lesbian, but is now openly professing it.
Wait, what? This is an Indian family?
Yeah, like Punjabi, like, think Punjabi. Wow, they really, yeah. Like, yeah. Stacked on. Yeah, there were, like, that stack on all of these.
DE&I objectives, yeah. On there.
So then there was all the drama with that, and he's basically abusive, and now they've split up and everything. But basically, he knows that she was involved in the cover up of a murder, and it's all this blackmailing and this and that and whatever. And also, the new storyline for this year has been that he's actually dying, like he's actually like he's got heart failure, but he's determined to make sure that his ex-wife doesn't marry her. New partner, who's obviously a woman, and he's just so, it's been dragged out so much, and he's literally got to the point now where he was in prison because he confessed to the murder that his ex-wife was involved in on the promise that she was like, oh, I don't marry that woman, but obviously she's still gonna do it anyway. So now he's managed to break out of prison. And he's like...
An old man.
Prison break, EastEnders crossover.
He managed to somehow pay the doctor to, like... He did have poor health, so he went into the prison hospital, and somehow managed to pay the doctor to make it look like he was dying, so he got transferred to hospital, and on the way to hospital, he got intercepted, and now he's, like, out and about, and now he's obviously going to be causing havoc, like, in terms of their life.
It's just so convoluted.
But the main funny thing was, I don't know whether they wrote this in or whether the writers wrote it in or who decided to write this in, right? But there's a scene where he's on his hospital bed and he's saying to his ex-wife, like, oh, please don't marry that woman, blah, blah, blah. And she's like, no. And then he's like, you cutty bitch.
And not naan bread, chai tea.
Exactly.
Queso cheese.
Me and Bianca were watching it. We were just like, wait, what?
What did he just say?
You bitch.
You cutty bitch.
And we were just like, who did they decide to put that in? Did someone write that in? Like,
someone definitely wrote that in.
And if someone wrote that in, why were
a
they not?
A non-brown person definitely wrote that
no,
in.
No, but why were they not like, you realize you're asking me to say you bitch. No.
It's giving chai tea naan bread.
Oh dear. Well, me and my uncle were just like, what is going on?
Do you, maybe it was like a clickbaity type, cause you're because talking
it's
about
already,
it.
It's already on
they probably knew what they were doing.
Yeah, they're banking on the fact that is like the white audiences will be watching and they don't know.
But you could have just said like Kamina or something like that. You know what I mean?
Could have said one or the other.
Yeah, like just some, not like you bitch, bitch.
It's just emphasis, Carlos. You obviously don't get it.
Bitch, bitch. Yeah. Bitch.
I'm going to start using
I might start, I'm going to start saying that to my sisters. Bitch. Bitch.
Oh, so we were just laughing at that. And yeah. Then the other thing that I wanted to discuss actually was I've been seeing so much, I was saying to Simran earlier on TikTok, of white people engaging with like Punjabi brown culture. First of all, being
what that, really where?
First of yeah, all,
I've
being
not seen it. I've seen it here and there.
There's what this guy. Let me show you. Actually, his name is Gora Jutraps, and he basically it's in the name.
I will say, I will make a point. What I saw a lot when I used to have Twitter, and there was this one particular Twitter account that used to highlight it a lot. A lot of people participate in what I like to call Sikh shagging. Like they, whoa. All this like, Sikhs are the best people I've ever met in my life. Oh my God, but this, you know, you always hear good stories. I've never met to a bad fair, Sikh that sounds person a
lot
in my
like,
life.
That sounds a lot like you, have actually. You
never, have you seen that like, discourse like online and just like, I've never
no,
met
no, I
bad
say it when
Sikh
I retweet
person.
Like the Sikhs protecting the masjid and I'm like, rah, I and love you the
always,
Sikhs.
It's always like someone like, obviously amazing stuff, but like someone's like taking their turban off to help like a dog or a child drowning in a river. Oh, the Sikhs, they're great.
I mean,
people.
I wish someone spoke like, about Muslims
no,
like
no,
that.
I'm not complaining. It's really nice. Thanks. It's just
is
so,
that what you lot call it? Sikh shagging?
No, that's what I call oh. it. I just always, I just see it so like in your face, like the Sikhs are greater than it. I'm like, thanks guys. But like,
no,
it's
what
just
you mean.
So, I don't know how to
what
like
did,
phrase
what did
it.
We
it's
do
just so
to
in your face.
This kind of thing. But then ultimately I think what-
but it's great for PR,
lovely.
Mate.
No, but
oh,
I, also,
I will
like,
say we have great PR.
But
I think as a community, you guys are-
very giving.
Pretty, like, non-problematic.
I think we earned the PR. Yeah.
I think most of the hate that you get, not the hate that other minorities is deserved, but I think a lot of the hate that you get is because people are mistaking you as being part of other minorities.
Islamophobia,
which is not okay in either way.
Yeah, but, like...
But, yeah, you're right, and that's been a long-standing thing.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I just it's just a weird phenomenon that I notice quite a lot.
That's a banger.
I'm afraid
anyway.
I want him.
What is, why
I'm
is
afraid
it?
I want him.
Simran!
Don't show my grandmothers.
Good or bad?
She'll be
grandma.
I've seen. I've
She'll
seen
be like, oh,
things.
You don't speak Punjabi like this. You don't know Punjabi music. You don't listen to Punjabi music.
Is he American or British?
No, do you think he learns?
He's probably
it,
got a Punjabi girlfriend.
It real quick on the thing, and then just like a cool video done.
No,
which
I
think
don't,
he like genuinely.
He's singing the words.
I don't think
enjoys it.
You can, because the thing is, even me, like I listen to a lot of South Asian music, like the different languages. I'd say I listen to it, maybe even more than you, for example, Simran. I'd say because yeah. It's part of my job and stuff, I say I listen to it more, but it doesn't mean that it gets stuck in my head as someone that hasn't grown up around that.
I don't know, because there's this one Bad Bunny song that I know it word
Spanish
for
mommy.
Word.
Well,
yeah?
You do be doing Spanish on Duolingo,
but
though.
I don't know what they're talking about in the song, though. Actually, there's a couple of Bad Bunny songs I know the words.
My
to.
Point is, as I don't think he can be singing it with that much conviction without actually knowing
true,
it.
True.
And it is, it's cute.
Oh,
it's
I love
cute,
it.
Actually.
How many followers does he have?
Well, 90. He has a lot on TikTok, I think.
19?
90.
Oh,
he's probably got like
okay,
a Punjabi girlfriend.
He's got 790 on TikTok. How is this caught on my
How's
TikTok?
It found you?
I have seen things like that, though. I have seen. I know what
you're
you mean.
Obviously
I have
engaging
seen.
With. But yeah, you get it on like those Punjabi or like Desi pages or like, oh, this person speaks fluent Punjabi and they're obviously not in that community.
We have it with Bengali people as well, like in East London, all the non-Bengalis that speak in Bengali. Yeah.
Oh my God, I went to my cousin's wedding and the groom's friend was speaking perfect Punjabi and he was a white guy called like Bradley or something.
Interesting.
It isn't, but then there's this other one as well. Let me just find
I do it. Think it's for women. I think it's like to get...
To pull.
Yeah.
This guy as well is another favorite of mine and he just constantly.
How many of these do you have?
No, just this one. But this is what I mean. It's like, it's come up, he's coming up on my
it's
feed.
Found you.
I don't know why.
We should swap the TikToks for a day.
I don't know if I want the TikTok of a 12-year-old boy.
Do you know what? I have the Spotify of a 12-year-old boy, but you've got the Spotify of a 16-year-old girl.
Yeah! So true! So true.
Moving on. this guy is just obsessed with, like, Mitai and stuff, and especially Gulab Jamun, which he calls...
Oh, I've seen him! Gulab Jamun. Try Nafi Sweets in Blackburn. Yeah, I've seen him. Yeah. Huh? Like, he goes everywhere looking for gulab jamun.
The Christmas markets. He wants gulab jamun at the Christmas market. I do like him.
Yeah, he just cracks me up. But I'm saying, like,
what's I wish there was gulab jamun at the Christmas market.
Oh, that would be great.
He should start a petition. But, yeah, I mean...
My mum makes her own gulab jamun. It's so good.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so see you actually.
Have you had it?
Not your mum's, no. Oh. Just homemade one slap.
You know, Halima made chocolate for us and left it at home.
Guys, I'll bring it. I'm going to bring it. I'll bring it to you tomorrow.
I had Wingstop.
Yeah, but you know what? She faked it. She had it the other day.
Oh, Carlos, at least let me lie to the camera. I was so looking forward to it. And then at 5 o'clock when I was being sick, I was like, oh my God, I can't have any. I was so upset. I just managed to have some though.
It was nice, and yeah, I did the right thing getting saucy ones.
It was better.
What did you get last time?
Dry ones.
Saucy ones. The BBQ one is the best. Louisiana Rub, the BBQ, Korean barbecue. Oh. That's the best one. Louisiana Rub is nice, but I always end up putting it in the barbecue sauce.
I was saying that, like, my TikTok, I saw a couple of, like, Americans doing Wingstop.
Some of their ones look good, you know.
And they get corn. They sell ranch sauce by the cup.
Massive
cup, and they dip the whole tender. That's a bit much. And they eat it, and obviously it's kind of gross, but like weirdly satisfying.
So yeah, so
makes me hungry at the same time, but I'm also disgusted.
Right, to finish with, guys, I've got some names that Mianka's texted as suggestions.
Is this from ChatGPT?
I think so. Judging by the looks. Oh, go on. Three idiots, one mic.
I actually kind of like that one.
That's funny.
It gets worse as they go along.
Our TikTok followers that hate our content will be happy with that. Every video we get at least one comment. Anyone can have a podcast these days.
Literally. Hot takes and headaches.
Ooh. No. Well, I quite like that one. I feel like it needs to be two words.
Mianka's ChatGPT and my ChatGPT are very different.
The triple take. The South Side.
I think that was one that I got.
We're not a gang.
I think out of those ones, I like the Three Idiots one might the best. But
I don't think I wouldn't want us to actually be called
Hot takes and headaches, I don't mind. I think that's... I think it's too many words.
I don't have headaches.
Headache is fucking Bad Vibes Island every week.
Right. Well, I think it's just called Bad Vibes Island.
I'd want it to be just like two words or less. Maybe three at a push. Like very short and snappy.
Like mango masala.
Yeah, to be fair.
It's easier.
But, yeah.
It's the masala bit that pains me. I suggested Manga Radio, but obviously we're not a radio station.
Yeah. But yeah, if anyone has any ideas, please do let us know.
Carlos Halima Simran. CHS.
Cheeto Hume School.
Cheeto, I was just about to say CHS. Yeah,
sure that. My cousin went to that school, CHS.
I thought you went to that. Was it Cheadle?
I went to Cheadle Hume High School. So I went to CHHS. And then across the road was CHS.
I see. Yeah. Anyway, thank you everyone for tuning
Happy
in.
Happy birthday to us.
Happy birthday.
We're all very low on it. This weather is depressing. You know what?
I'm going to have a not good time sorting out the lighting later because it's been all over the place over the past the light from outside has been changing and therefore on the camera has been changing, so it's not been amazing. But, you know, we move. This time next year, we're going to have our own studio.
This time next year, the weekend will be my number one artist on Spotify Wrapped.
Right. Well, anyway, we'll see you next time. Thanks for the support, as always. Especially our top listeners that apparently listen to us 8.9 times more than other people.
That's such a...
I know.
Weird statistic.
This is what Spotify. I didn't want to know that. I want to know.
Yeah, because we got Creator Wrapped as well, and that was really strange.
I didn't like the
user interface at all.
Yeah, it was so
hard. I hated that.
Spotify, sort it out.
I think there were a lot of people have been calling.
But then
they said
that they've had loads of layoffs this year. Not that I'm excusing you. I want my wrap.
Right. Yeah. Sorry. you shouldn't be laying people off if you can't deliver the rap properly.
Guys, have you seen the new phone, the photo thing on iOS?
No,
18?
But I have seen it on other people's phones, and it makes me feel sick to my stomach. I don't want to do it. And every night, I go to sleep and I get scared that my phone's going to automatically update.
What photo update?
The photo app on the iPhone.
Oh, have you got the new iOS? I must have that because I literally got this the other day.
It's fucking awful. Everyone's
complaining about this.
They'll change it.
I hate it.
This
one. I hate it. It's so bad, isn't it? Yeah. So bad.
But yeah, ending on a positive note, as always, we'll see you next time.
Bye, everyone.